I'm Matt Katz, in for Tanzina Vega. Good to have you with us. For some time now, experts have been telling us that while all of the authorized COVID-19 vaccines are very effective at preventing severe cases and deaths, none are 100% effective at stopping people from contracting the virus. When vaccinated people do get COVID-19, these cases are often referred to as breakthrough infections. According to the CDC, between January and April, there were 9,000 breakthrough infections out of 95 million vaccinated people. And while that number is most likely an undercount, it still suggests that breakthrough infections are extremely rare. However, a recent COVID-19 outbreak among the New York Yankees has put the possibility of breakthrough infections back in the spotlight. This month, 9 employees of the Yankees, including one player, tested positive for COVID. Out of those 9, only one reported any symptoms, which were mild. According to the Yankees, all 9 employees were fully vaccinated with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Here's Yankees General Manager Brian Cashman on the Yes Network last Thursday, prior to the news that a 9th employee had tested positive.
The one thing I take from this is I believe the vaccine is working. You know, we've got 8 positives and 7 of the 8 presented as without symptoms. So without the testing, you wouldn't even have known. And then the one that did present, thankfully, now in Phil Nevin's case, is symptom free.
More information is needed to figure out whether the Yankees outbreak is in fact an example of breakthrough infections. But in the meantime, it's important to get the full picture on these rare cases. So with me now to explain all of this is Sikhan Akpan, health and science editor for the WNYC Newsroom. Thanks for being here, Sikhan.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So how much has our understanding of this concept of breakthrough infections evolved since people started getting vaccinated?
It's completely evolved. So you can't learn about breakthrough infections until after a clinical trial is done. You know, a clinical trial is essentially a field test for humans, might be one way to put it. So for the COVID-19 vaccine trials, those recruits numbered about 30 to 40,000 for the authorized vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. And, you know, those studies really try to have a diverse mix of people. You know, you really want all races, all ages, you want it to be demographically representative of sex, chronic disease. And you do that because you want those results from the clinical trial to be able to predict what's going to happen in the real world. But you never really know how a vaccine is going to perform until you have it out in the real world, until it's either authorized or approved. And so, but the real world is messy. It comes with a lot of unexpected variables. You have supply chains, you have freezers, you have people who are outliers that you might not expect. You have hot weather. You know, once you take that dose out of the fridge, that hot weather can sort of degrade the vaccine. And you now have the Yankees, right? This curveball that nobody was expecting with these breakthrough infections. That's just sort of like a long way of saying that the efficacy that you measure in a clinical trial is going to be different from the effectiveness that you measure in the world at large. Like that's the difference between those two terms. But so far, it looks like the efficacy that was measured in clinical trials is matching the effectiveness in the real world. So, you know, for Pfizer and Moderna, we saw about 90 to 95% efficacy against severe disease. And now we're seeing that also in the real world, but also 90 to 95% effectiveness against even getting the infection at all, you know, even having the virus take hold in your body. And then the Mayo Clinic put out a preliminary study a couple of weeks ago showing that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, its efficacy from the clinical trial is also matching its effectiveness in the real world against infection. So it's about 77% effective.
So then how do you make sense of the Yankee situation? 9 employees tested positive, all of whom were fully vaccinated. How does that make sense to you?
Yeah, there's a lot to sort of pick apart and dig into there. I think first off, you know, a lot of us have sort of jumped to the conclusion that a breakthrough infection happened, but we really need to see what the CDC's investigation into the outbreak finds. I say that because, like I just said, you know, there's a lot of variables that go into just administering a vaccine. So, you know, we need to make sure that, you know, the vaccines were stored properly. We need to make sure that they were administered properly. Because, you know, if you don't do that first step right, you know, the effectiveness is going to be lower even before the vaccine enters your body. You know, I think another thing that's going on is that, you know, the Yankees, the people who are traveling with the Yankees right now, it's like a group of about 50 to 60 people. They're getting tested 3 times a day. And so that is a testing rate that's much higher than the average person. And so you're more likely right. to catch cases. You're more likely to spot cases, which is what you want, right? You want to be able to isolate your very valuable players as soon as you can to make sure that the outbreak doesn't spread throughout your organization. And I think what's kind of interesting about the Yankee situation is that, you know, we've caught these 9 cases, but almost all of them have had no symptoms, which is a sign that the vaccines are working, right? We know that when you get vaccinated, especially, you know, with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, you know, there's a greater chance of you catching the infection, but we would expect that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine would protect against severe disease or severe symptoms. And so that's sort of what we're seeing there.
And you mentioned that they're tested more frequently than the average American. And so is HBO host Bill Maher, who had to cancel his show last weekend after testing positive, despite being vaccinated. I mean, is this something we're seeing that people who are maybe getting some of these breakthrough infections, their infection wouldn't necessarily be caught if they were just in the general population?
I don't know if we can say that broadly for the breakthrough infections, but, you know, we can say that breakthrough infections would be expected, right? All vaccines mm-hmm. experience breakthrough infections, even the best ones that we have, you know, so the ones for chickenpox, measles, mumps, HPV, like there's always a small chance that you're going to have a breakthrough infection. If you think about the testing levels for the Yankees and probably for a show like Bill Maher's, that rate is going to be comparable, if not better than what you would see on a clinical trial. So if you're testing these teams as often as they're reporting, yeah, you're going to be more likely to catch breakthrough infections or asymptomatic infections, right, that typically go unnoticed.
Yeah. Sikhan, last month, you wrote a piece criticizing coverage around breakthrough infections and deaths among fully vaccinated people in Michigan. What were some of the main flaws that you saw in reporting that story?
Yeah, you know, I think to their credit, Michigan health officials, you know, they wanted to get ahead of the curve and, you know, inform the public about the breakthrough infections that they were seeing. And so they put out this number that was like, okay, we've seen 246 breakthrough infections. And you know, a lot of news outlets just picked up on it and they were like, oh my goodness. Can you believe it? Like people are getting infected even though they're vaccinated. But the thing that they didn't do was include the denominator. So, you know, that 246 was out of, I think, about 1.8 million, meaning that there's about 1 in 10,000, you know, 1 of every 10,000 cases led to a breakthrough infection. But without that denominator, you know, without that extra context, yeah. You're going to have a lot of people who are scared and you're going to have a lot of people who maybe start distrusting the vaccines. And so, you know, I think that's one common thing that I've seen with the reporting on breakthrough infections, especially with the Yankees stories that came out last week. And like, this isn't a dig on the reporters doing that work. A lot of these folks aren't health reporters. They're not science reporters. They are, you know, they're just trying to say like, here's what the team is telling us. And they're just trying to get that information out to other folks. But, you know, when every major outlet is covering that story, it does sort of create like a magnifying effect or an amplifying effect. And you have to wonder if that can sort of send out, I would say, yeah. misconceptions about how sure. well the vaccines are working if you know those stories don't all include context.
Yeah, you obviously need that context. And maybe if our public health officials were a little more clear and consistent, that would also go a long way in helping us understand that context too.
Yep.
As far as that goes, in terms of what we should be thinking about from a public health perspective more broadly when it comes to breakthrough infections, do you think the fact that there are these breakthrough infections, which are again mainly mild or asymptomatic cases, presents any reason for vaccinated people to keep wearing masks indoors?
All of the data that we're seeing so far, especially with the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. And people should keep in mind that we have more data on the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines because they were authorized earlier. All of that data is suggesting that the vaccines are going to protect against infection for people who are fully vaccinated. I think for that reason, vaccinated people can worry less about catching the virus when they're out in public, majority of situations. Outdoors, for sure. I think most places that are indoors, for sure. You know, the reason that we have the exceptions in the CDC guidance on masking is that you're more likely to catch a virus even if you're vaccinated, if your exposure is higher, right? So if you go into a hospital and you have a lot of people who are coughing, you have COVID wards, like the amount, there's going to be a lot more exposure there. And so even in that setting, your defensive shields, your immunity shields might break down.
Sikhan Akpan is the health and science editor for the WNYC Newsroom. Thanks so much, Sikhan. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Many vaccinated people still have mixed feelings on any quick return to normal. Here's what you've been telling us.
This is Mary Claire of Goose Creek, South Carolina. I am fully vaccinated, and I will not stop wearing a mask when I'm around people I do not know, outdoors and especially inside. We do not know enough to throw caution to the wind. Besides, there's still widespread COVID-19 on the planet, and variants will continue to proliferate until the virus is under control everywhere with vaccines.
Hey, this is Jana from New York City. I would change my mask use just by a little bit. I still like wearing masks to protect against the sun when I bike. I like to wear masks when I hike or just to feel safe in general when I'm in crowded spaces. However, when I feel like I need to experience the smells around me, I'll definitely take it off, like when I'm at the beach, when I'm at a garden.
My name is Nate Boucher. I'm from Point Arena, California, and I believe in science. And if it thinks data supports a change, then I'm with it.
I'm not going to change anything about my mask wearing, because when safety depends on trusting unknown people to be honest about having had their shots, I'll wait for the next bus. It used to be you wouldn't let yourself wonder or worry about if the people working at the restaurant behind the scenes in the kitchen had truly been washing their hands properly. Well, take that apprehension and amp it up 1,000-fold, and welcome to 2021. This is Al Rosenkranz from Barrington, New Jersey.
Hi, this is Teresa Weaver from Kingfisher, Oklahoma. And yes, I will stop wearing my mask with the CDC's recommendation, unless I'm with somebody who's uncomfortable not wearing a mask, and then I'll put mine back on.
This is Daniel from Greenville, South Carolina. Even though I'm now fully vaccinated, I will continue to wear masks when indoors and around large crowds out of an abundance of caution, as well as out of respect for others.
Hi, this is Nancy from New Jersey calling. I will continue wearing a mask in public. I wore a mask in public prior to COVID and ignored strange looks. I have an asthma-related condition, and there's certain allergens that are detrimental to my airway. So wearing a mask is actually very beneficial for me, so I will continue.
This is June from Corning, New York. I will not change my habits in regards to wearing a mask because I am so fearful of all the idiots who do not get vaccinated and are spreading these germs and getting everyone sick. My mother died of COVID in December, and she was healthy, and it killed her. I will not take my mask off when I am in public for a long time.
This is Dennis calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. I'll continue to wear a mask when indoors in such situations as shopping. I'll avoid retail locations that don't require masks. I won't eat indoors at restaurants or attend any indoor events, even masked. The CDC decision was too quick and far-reaching for my comfort level, and I'll leave it to others to play canary in the coal mine and see what develops over the next few months.
Hi, my name is Dave Kowalczyk. I'm from Yardley, Pennsylvania, and I just went into a pizza parlor, and on the front of the pizza parlor door, it said, all masks required, and they obviously wrote after the fact, unless you've been vaccinated. So I walked in, had a slice of pizza, no mask, and it felt great.
Lots of complexity and thought in those responses. As always, we thank you for sharing them with us. As for me, I've been walking outside with my mask off, but if I pass someone on the sidewalk, I put the mask on. And that's for the stranger's comfort, not mine, and it's certainly grounded more in social science than health science. You can call anytime at 877-8-MY-TAKE. That's 877-869-8253, or send a voice memo to takeawaycallers@gmail.com.